Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Have you ever changed your mind about one of those really big issues? In a recent online Ask Reddit forum, users were asked, former climate change deniers, what changed your mind? Karen Kirk is a freelance journalist who took a look at the answers for the news site Yale Climate Connections. She joins us by Skype. What did you find?
I think the most startling thing right off the bat is that, holy cow, people can still change their minds.
Yes.
It's like we are only going in the opposite direction right now. They were digging deeper and deeper and deeper and getting more and more defensive about our stances. And so it was kind of astonishing.
What did they say about why they were holding on to climate change denial?
The most common sort of origin story of where their denial came from and why it was deep within them is that it came from their family. Mm-hmm. So they were raised by parents who didn't believe it. They described, you know, my parents are yelling at the TV anytime it's mentioned, or they described, I'm just, you know, we dismiss science. That's what we do. And so it was sort of part of people's upbringing.
So family, social environment, a big reason. Someone wrote, I denied it through middle school, mostly because my family rigorously shot it down.
Yeah.
Another wrote, my dad told me it wasn't real. Well, in a report from Yale University, researchers found that as social beings, humans do adapt to group norms. You know, in order to be part of the family and have meals, you know, you tend to agree with people in the family. But what is powerful enough to overcome that? Why did they change?
I'm super happy to share the number one reason why people changed, and it's science. People were just understanding the scientific basis. Greenhouse effect and the human fingerprint on climate change is not that hard to understand, and people were just like, yeah, I get it. I CO2, we're adding CO2. One person wrote about how they saw a graph of temperature and CO2 on a time scale, and they said, that does it.
But we see that second on the list of reasons to accept climate change was stewardship.
Nobody likes pollution. Nobody likes the idea of passing on a polluted planet to their kids. Stewardship is a great rallying point, and that came right through here. People realize that we don't want to mess up this one Earth that we have.
What about the weird weather we've been having? Did that affect people?
Right. So part of the problem climate change has when we teach it and talk about it is that it's far away. It's someone else's problem. It's, you know, I don't live in the Arctic. I don't care about sea ice. But right, when you feel it in your own neighborhood, when your ski area no longer gets snow, or when one poster bought snowshoes and then it like hardly ever snowed again after he bought snowshoes. And I think we have this lingering feeling in the back of our mind that we sort of think about climate change, you know, it's way back there somewhere. And then you have this weird, weird weather and you go, oh, no, I guess that is what they were talking about. Maybe that is right after all.
Well, so you talked about why people were climate deniers in the first place, and it was usually family, close family, but also who they were listening to. And so you say one of the major reasons that they change their mind is that they realize climate deniers' lack of credibility. The mouthpieces for climate change denial were wrong and that science was right. So do we conclude from this that we should just, what, go try to tell climate change deniers all about the science?
I think the approach needs to be quite personal. People would describe maybe a conversation with a trusted colleague or someone they looked up to or someone that just wasn't going to make them feel bad about it. And so you see this sort of a need for a little bit of a gentle treatment as they go through that process to just be nice about it.
That's Karen Kirk, freelance journalist, speaking to us about a question on Reddit that led to answers from former climate deniers about why they changed their minds. Karen, thank you.
Thanks so much. I'm really happy to have the opportunity to help foster good conversations, I hope.
Well, let's have another one. Let's bring in someone in the process, actually, of changing her mind on big issues. Becca Merrill, a doctoral student studying education policy at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. We met when we broadcast from WUNC in North Carolina, and she happened to talk to me about her evolving worldview. She was raised poor, conservative. Her family, members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, they didn't believe in same-sex relationships. She says they embraced a lesser role for women and a view of America as a promised land. And then Becca went to college. Becca, what was that transition like?
It was a long one, maybe a decade. So it was something that I kept on facing obstacles to being myself. when I left my family to go to school, I first got a degree at NC State in criminology, which made me look at crime differently for sure. And then I went back and I got a degree in religious studies. And this opened my eyes to patterns within religions that I had not seen before, worldwide patterns. And some of them seemed to be oppressive. And so when I saw that, it kind of planted more doubt in my heart, I guess. Then through the years, like as my faith evolved into something different than these other beliefs. So, well, if the Bible was possibly produced by people who had narratives that they wanted to teach the people with, but not necessarily narratives that came from God, then maybe God created everyone as they were supposed to be. Maybe there's nothing wrong with being gay, and we're just seeing it wrong. Or maybe it was just one person in history that decided that they didn't like this gay person and they created a narrative around it. Who knows? And so, like, there is so much less that we actually know about where religion came from. And so it opened up all of the beliefs that I've been taught for questioning.
Well, and that's kind of what we were talking about, this idea that everything you'd heard, it could be from a radio talk show host, it could be from a religion, but that maybe there's a different point of view. How unsettling is that? I mean, what's your relationship with your family?
Well, one of my sisters doesn't go to the church, and so she sighed relief because she now has someone else to talk to about her deepest issues in the family. And then I have another sister who's very active, and it was very difficult to talk to her about it and hurtful. My brother told me I was being prideful, as I predicted, but I haven't told my father. He would be sad, but he would never reject me. It's not a fear of that. It's more to save his feelings. But I'm going to talk to him. I have every intention of doing so.
Well, you sort of just started, Becca Merrill.
he doesn't listen to NPR.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, but that's exactly what we're talking about, that people are in their own tunnels, in their own lanes sometimes. And it's when you first peek outside your lane, whether it's climate change denial or the denial of the acceptance of gays, whatever the lane is. Was it shocking for you to start seeing, wow, there's all these other people thinking other things?
I think that the shocks started coming more when I got into this PhD program and becoming aware that I had a worldview. You know, when you're raised in a bubble, you don't even realize that you have a worldview that could be different from others. I didn't realize I was conservative. I had no clue that I was any of these things. I didn't know I had a label. And so when I went into class, I thought that that when I came to an academic setting that I could express my views and then more gently be taught about, you know, what research supports. And maybe I come across very confidently when I speak of my opinions, but in my head, I speak them so that it's like a starting point for a conversation, not a place that I am sure of my knowledge. And that's been a huge change for me because growing up, I was taught that what I was being taught was the truth. And like truth with a capital T is how it was put to me. And so there is no other way of thinking. That's just, I've seen that, well, there are lots of ways to look at something. And sometimes I still can't come to a right answer on some things. I still don't know where I stand, like on something like abortion. I see both sides and I can't take one. and so like when I see that, I can't believe that there is one way of looking at it.
Well, you know, what you're saying, that even your confusion over it is rejecting something that your family used to believe, and yet confusion over it is a point of view. It's a valid point of view.
I don't see anything wrong with not having an answer anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I used to think I had to have answers to everything, but now, I mean, if there's a God, that will be great. I don't see a lot of evidence of it, but, you know, but I'm still open to the idea. It's not, you know, I don't disclaim other people's experiences. And so, again, just don't have an answer for it.
Becca Merrill, a doctoral student studying education policy at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, finding her own way in the world. Becca, thank you.
Thank you very much, Robin.